The word today is breakfast of champions. Amen. Triumph of faith. That's what God has placed in my heart. Breakfast of champions, triumph of faith. Now, I know so many times when you think of the word breakfast, you think of eating breakfast. But this message is not about Wheaties or eating breakfast, but it's understanding that God wants us to be able to be triumphant. And the only way we're going to be triumphant is with faith. You see, nothing, anything, everything that you're dealing with requires us to have faith. So when God had placed this message in my spirit, it was breakfast of champions. Now, I know all of us understand what it means to be a champion. A champion is somebody that has prepared himself to be a winner. They have prepared themselves to be victorious. And this is what God is saying to the people, that you're going to be triumphant in faith. If you rely on the things of God. The number one thing that we have to get in our spirit, said the Lord, is we have to surrender all to him. Surrender means to deliver up our possessions on demand or under duress. When you surrender something, you surrender it because you had to. You were in a situation where you had to surrender it over. And what God is saying to us today is that he wants us to get ready to surrender ourselves totally over to him. No matter what the situation, if we surrender our will over to God, guess what? You're going to be a champion. Because God does not breed losers. Instead, he makes us a champion because he is always there for you. Can I get an amen this morning? So God is trying to do something great in our life. And so many times we get in the way. We think about it. We wonder about it. We say, well, Lord, I just can't do this. But God says, do you want to be a champion? Do you want to be triumphant? I'm going to talk about two different stories right now. The first one is Solomon, and he was a king with much wisdom. In the book of Colossians 28:5, I'm just going to start there. Just got a little story right there. One night early in his reign, the Lord gave Solomon a dream. And in the dream, God told Solomon to ask for something, anything he wanted. In a dream, God told Solomon to ask for whatever he wanted. Solomon was young and he was humble. He spoke to God about the great responsibility involved in governing God's people. So Solomon was a man that desired to please God. Now he was ready to take over for his father. And he did not just take over for his father, but he went before God and said, Lord, I know that I have a great responsibility to govern your people. So I'm going to go to you and ask for what? Wisdom.
Amen.
So the Lord, he went to the Lord and he said this. This is the next verse. It says, Solomon was young. He was humble. He spoke to God about the great responsibility in governing God's people. And he asked for wisdom sufficient for the job. Even though he was a son of King David, he didn't just govern the people, but he said, Lord, I need your wisdom. I need you to give me the understanding what it's going to take to govern your people. People, today I want you to know something, that you and I are a child of the king. And when you go before God, all you have to do is say, Lord, I need wisdom so that I may be triumphant. Too many times you go into the churches and people are overwhelmed and people are going through. People have given up. But the reason why they're giving up is because they don't know that they are a child of the king and that they only can be victorious because they have access to all the kingdom. You have access to whatever God has for you. So Solomon went before God and he said, Lord, I want to learn how to be responsible. This is where that story came from, Chronicles 28:5, and next part said the Lord was pleased. Okay, now after he asked God, he said, I want wisdom sufficient for the job. That's what Solomon wanted. The Lord was pleased with Solomon's request. He gave him not only, see right here with his request, he could have asked for wealth. Solomon could have asked for political or military security, long life, fame, but instead he asked for wisdom to carry out the responsibilities of God. God had given this. Now, what happened here was, so God promised he would give Solomon exceptional wisdom. And I'm going somewhere with a message today. He promised Solomon that he would give him exceptional wisdom. He didn't give him just enough. He gave him exceptional wisdom. Unlike everyone else before or after him, he would also give him the things he had asked. He hadn't asked for, like wealth, respect, and security. Now I'm gonna go into the main part of my lesson. When I talk about being a champion, there's a few verses in Proverbs 12:1-3, and these verses are there so you can read it with me. This is the English Standard Version. It says in Proverbs, the 12th verse, the first chapter, okay, the 12th chapter, I mean, first verse, it says here, whosoever loves discipline loves knowledge. But he who hates reproof is a fool. Or stupid, it says in that version. Whosoever loves discipline loves knowledge. This is one of the pills that I'm giving you for your growth. When I was talking about Breakfast of Champions, I want you to listen to these few bullets I have for you. So whosoever loves discipline loves knowledge, but he who hates reproof is stupid. The next verse says, in the second verse, it says, the good man attains favor from the Lord, but the man of evil devices he condemns. Make sure you're putting this together for your life. The first part was saying that if you don't require knowledge, which comes from God, you are allowing yourself to not be victorious. Think about the things you're going through in your personal life. Some of us young people, we don't want to listen to our parents. We want to listen to the kids on the street. So all of a sudden, we do it. We do what they do. We follow through with their plan for your life. This is what God is saying. Nobody has you in mind like God. So a lot of time we go to one another to be victorious. We go to our friends. We go to people on the corner sometimes, and we're asking everybody but God how to be victorious. We're asking everybody but God, how can I be stronger? It's nice to lift the weights and it's nice to pump up, but I'm telling you right now that to be victorious in Jesus, you got to receive reproof.
Amen.
Because guess what? God is trying to make you triumphant.
Yes, he is.
He's trying to make me triumphant.
Yes.
Are you tired of not being a winner? So we must understand how to take the breakfast for champions. In the next verse, it says, a good man attains favor from God, from the Lord, but a man of evil devices he condemns. Now, the next verse is the third verse. It says, no one is established by wickedness. All right? It says, no one is established by wickedness. So when people come to you and say, do something negative, something contrary to the word of God, the Bible says that you can't be established in anything. Some of us, when we look at our life and what we're going through, you think about your decisions that you made, and when you see that it was in the tent of wickedness, you're wondering why you can't have nice things, why you can't have a home, a car, children that you can actually be a father of. Because the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. So he came to destroy your life. He came to steal your salvation and kill your soul. So he's not going to tempt you with things that are going to last. So that's what this scripture is saying right here. Next verse, it says, right here, in the third verse, it says, no one is established by wickedness, but the root of the righteous will never be moved. Amen? The root of the righteous will never be moved. That's what God is saying. If you want to be successful, you want to exist in this world today and have something, be successful, you be righteous. You don't do what the world said do. You be righteous. Do the things that God said to do. And you're going to be a winner. The next thing in the 15th verse in the same chapter says, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes. You see that scripture? The way of a fool is right in his own eyes. But a wise man listens to advice. Now I'm going somewhere with this message. If you turn to Genesis 37, 1 and 4. I have a story about Joseph, and this is where I'm going into this message with all of this. A lot of us want to be winners and champions. We want to be successful. Sometimes God has a plan for you and me.
Amen.
But the only way we're going to succeed is to follow through with the things of God. If you turn to the 37th chapter, 1 through 4, it says, now Jacob dwelled in the land where his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. This is a history of Jacob. Third verse, it says, now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children because he was a son of his old age. You see that? Also, he had made him a tourniquet of many colors. But when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his brothers, they hated him and could not speak peacefully to him. This story is talking about Joseph, how he was favored by his father. And he was favored by his father. His father had him when he was older. So Joseph was in a predicament just because of his father's choice. His father made him a tourniquet, I believe. What it?
Tunic,
excuse me. And he made it of many colors. And he gave it to one son. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, this is how we are in our natural. Sometimes we favor one another. And we don't use wisdom. And this is what happened to him. He had of many colors, but said, when his brothers saw that his father loved him more than all of his brothers, they hated him and could not speak peacefully to him. They could not speak peacefully to him. The situation that was happening to him was he was favored. So he was an individual that was a dreamer. And he had already told his brothers one of his dreams. And this is their reply to the dream. It says in the 8th verse, it says, and his brothers said to him, shall you indeed reign over us? Or shall you indeed have dominion over us? So they hated him even more for his dream and for his words. It says in the ninth verse, it says, then he dreamed still another dream. This is what happened. Joseph, he had a dream. He told them the dream, and that was their first reply. Now he comes back to them, and I'm going somewhere with this. Then he comes back to them, and he tells them the next dream. He says, then he had a dream, still another dream, and he told it to his brothers and said, look, I have dreamed another dream, and this time the sun, the moon, and the 11 stars bow down to me. He went to his brothers, his family members, and he told them what God was telling him. That's what we do sometimes. We hear from the Lord. We don't keep our mouth. We hear from the Lord and we just go telling everything. You ever sit with somebody and they just talk about what God is going to do for them? Even though they were his brothers, they became envious. God has a plan for you, and the devil is not going to sit by idly. You might be the son of the king. You might have access to a lot of things. But don't you know that the devil is listening to the plan as well? Amen. And he's not going to make it so that you can just be victorious. He's going to make it so that you have to be proven. So Joseph didn't use his wisdom. And he went over to his brothers and he said, listen, I had a dream. And in this dream, the sun, the moon, and the 11 stars are going to bow down to me. Now, this is what his father said in the 10th verse. His father rebuked him. It says here in the 10th verse, he said, so he told it to his father and his brothers. And his father rebuked him and said unto him, what is this dream that you have dreamed? Shall your mother and I and your brothers indeed come to bow down to the earth before you? Before you, that's to say. Should we come and bow down to you? And his brothers envied him, but his father kept the matter in his mind. If you turn to Colossians 3:25, I got a couple of verses about God has no respect to person. I'm going to put things together. It says, but he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he has done. That's what it says in the word. He that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong that he has done, and there is no respect of person. That's the first verse. The next verse is in Romans 2:10-11. Says, but glory, honor, and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jews first, and also to the Gentiles. For there is no respect of person with God. I'm going somewhere with this. Natural man, we pick and choose. But the word says right here that there's no respect of person to those that do good. A lot of times, we want the blessings of God, but we don't want to do good. Is that right? We want to live the way we want to live, and we want the blessings of God. And then we turn to the Lord, and we say, Lord, why is it that they're doing good, and I'm not doing good? And God's saying, because you're not living right. Now, the story about Joseph was going somewhere, and I'm going to go back to that. What it was shown is that in man, we mess things up. What happened in this story was Joseph was just one of the other sons. But because his father had him in his older age, he gave favor to him. And he did it openly. It wasn't like he was slick about it. It's like, here you are, son. Here's an extra dollar. Here's a couple extra bucks. He lifted him up. And he made a big deal about it. So he didn't use the wisdom. That's why I was going with about Solomon. Is that God wants us to be over things, but He wants us to use wisdom in it. Now, this father probably wasn't thinking about it. He wasn't thinking that something that he was doing that was good for his son was going to offend everyone else. That happens in your own family, is that right? And the thing about envy is, envy will take root in your spirit and cause you to want to even kill one another. So because of the foolishness of the father, he put the son in a bad situation. The son heard from God. He heard a dream from God, and he was just excited. How many of us ever heard from God and we get excited? We go to our friends. We go to our prayer warriors. We go to our teachers. We go to everybody and tell them a dream. Oh, yeah, guess what? God is going to use me. Every time you end your statement, it's me. Yeah, God's going to use me. You know, I'm going to have a multitude of people. I'm going to be all that. And they're just looking at you like, really? Even the brothers of Joseph, they became envious. So this is what happened. The story of Joseph started with the family relationship. Joseph was 17 years old, and he actually lived to be 110 years old. But when all this went down, he was about 17 years old. The brothers naturally hated him because the father favored him. Joseph had a dream. He told it to his brothers, and they hated him even more. We're talking to one another. There's a conflict going on, first resolution. There's a conflict going on in your life, in my life. And God has a resolution. This is where the devil goes with his resolution. If you turn to Genesis 37, 18, and 22. And I'm almost there. I'm almost there with my message. And this is kind of cut up, so it might flow like that. But that's where the story comes from. It says, now when they saw him far off, this is the brothers. Even before he came near them, they conspired against him to kill him. And it says, then they said to one another, look, this dreamer is coming. Your family members? So they, his own brothers, conspired to kill him because they were envious of his dream. He didn't steal from them. He didn't hate them. He was just favored by his father, and he had nothing to do with it. And he decided to share what God was going to do with him. And do you think that, this is where I'm going with this message, you want to be a champion? Do you think that the things that you're trying to accomplish, the enemy's just going to let you walk in and have it? Even to the point with your own family, where they might have loved him, but because of envy and jealousy, it came in, and the only thing that they knew to do with their flesh was to kill him. This is how the flesh is, church. The only thing that the devil wants to do is get you in a predicament that you cannot get out of.
Amen.
That you can't get out of.
Yes.
And so when you, if you're this low down, if he gets you all the way down to the ground, it's almost hard to be restored. Mm-hmm. You ever see guys that are in jail for murder? You know, you might receive the Lord in the situation, but the problem is that you're in there for murder. Now you might have to, face the death penalty. Now, when they were thinking about killing or hurting or harming someone, they were thinking about their own self. But this is how the devil works. He doesn't make you focus on what would be the consequences. So we do things just in the moment.
Amen.
But that's why the scripture says a fool despises wisdom. God doesn't want you and I to lose. He wants us to win. So in that scripture, I'm still here, and it says, this is a little story on it. It says, look, this dreamer is coming. Come, therefore, let us now kill him and cast him into some pit. And we shall say, some wild beast has devoured him. So that was their plan. They were going to go put him in a pit, and they were going to tell their father, some wild beast has devoured him. All right? And, and we shall see what will become of his dream. That's what the enemy's doing. You have a story. You have a vision. You had a promise that God has made to you. And the devil wants to see what will become of that dream. I don't want you, people of God, men and women of God, to stop dreaming. God doesn't want you young people to stop believing that you can be all that you can be.
Yes.
We all, the Bible says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But what he wants us to do is understand that the enemy wants to destroy your dream, take away your hope and all possibilities. But to be a champion, you have to hold fast to the word of God and know that your faith will get you through. Amen. Somebody said, praise God. Y'all quiet this morning. Know that your faith is what's going to get you through.
Yes.
Now, he didn't think that his dream was going to get him in all the trouble he ended up in. Think about that. Joseph, the brothers took him, and they cast him into a pit. And then he was sold to slavery.
Yes, he was.
Now, he was sold to slavery because of his own family members. How many of us say, well, you know, I'm not going to church no more because them people, they did me wrong. I told them something God was doing, and all of a sudden, no one likes me. Everybody's talking about me. We can barely make it through a conversation. We can barely make it if somebody talks about us. But Joseph, his family members, threw him in a pit. They wanted him to perish in the desert. All because of a dream. You see what I mean? All because of a dream. But for you and I to be a champion, we got to see through the dream and see the promise. Look through the dream, through the circumstances, and see the promise of God. What has God told you? What has he promised to you?
Yes.
Now, you can't give up that promise because your family, your friends, your loved ones have turned on you. You have to look to the hills where comes your help and know that it comes from the Lord.
Yes, it does.
And when you do that, guess what you're going to be? You're going to be triumphant, and you're going to be an overcomer, church. So look up and live by faith.
Give God some glory. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Y'all might see me switching my glasses like this because these aren't my real glasses. So I'm going to end it now. It says, we must be wise when we share things. That's one of the things. We must be wise when we share things. They called him the dreamer. It isn't hard to see how unwise it was for Joseph to tell his dream the way he did. He told the dream. He was excited. But it wasn't wise. Now, this is what's interesting. But they put Joseph's dream to the test. to the ultimate test. It says here that if the dream really were from God, he could not be defeated by the hatred of his brothers. That's where I'm going with this. If your dream is really from God, if God has told you something and it is truly from him, no matter what the enemy throws at you, you're going to win.
Amen.
Amen. Give God the glory right there. No matter what the enemy does, you're going to win. So I'm going to end it with this. I say this here, that he loved. See, right here, the story about Joseph, it shows that God, this was a remarkable, really, life story of Joseph. And when you look at the life story, he was loved, he was hated and abused, tempted and trusted, exalted and abased. All these things Joseph went through, he felt them emotions, he was uplifted. He was glorified. Matter of fact, when he was sold into slavery, guess what got him out of trouble? His dreams. So his calling got him in prison, but then his calling blessed him. Now when he was being blessed, guess what? He was working with the queen. She wanted to seduce him, and because he didn't do what she wanted, what happened to him? He was put back in prison. Some of us, we go through things and we're like, oh, well, God loves me. I'm a fighter. I'm victorious in Christ Jesus. The first negativity, first thing that comes in our life, we automatically give up. This man heard from God over and over again. And the thing I like about this is he heard from God over and over again. He never stopped believing in the dream. He never turned around and said, Lord, I'm in the pit and I'm not believing another stupid dream you give me. He didn't curse God and die. Every dream that he had was so powerful, so great, so special. And every time he woke up from the dream, he was in another situation. And that's what's going on in our life today. That's what's going on in somebody's life today. You get up, you're victorious, you're excited, you're motivated. Oh, yes, I'm going all the way in the Lord. You go to prayer groups, you go with your friends, you tell them, yeah, God is going to use me. I'm going to be all that in the Lord. And they're looking at like, yeah, really. But what I want to tell you right now, you have to hold on to your own faith.
Amen.
And even when you speak, know who's among you. Know what's going on in their spirit. This is a part about Solomon. He had wisdom. And because of him using wisdom, righteousness, he was willing to listen to the word and advice of God. Church, don't listen to the advice of the world. Listen to the advice of the Lord. And I'm going to end with this. You may all stand. At no point in the 110 years life of Joseph did he ever seem to get his eyes off God or cease to trust him. At no point, adversity did not harden his character. Adversity did not harden his character. Prosperity did not ruin him. He was the same in private as in public. He was truly a great man of God. We must surrender all to the faith that we have in God. Are you ready to surrender all to the faith of God? Enoch showed the walk of faith, nor showed the perseverance of faith. Abraham showed the obedience of faith. Isaac showed the power of faith. Jacob showed the discipline of faith. This is, you see, there's a common denomination. He showed the discipline of faith. Among all these, we could say that Joseph showed the triumph of faith. And as I end right now, what are you going to show? Do you want to be victorious? In order to be triumphant and be the champion,